James chapter number 4. On our phone is a group of us. There's some pastors that I'm friends with that we talk a lot and just share a lot and have fun. But this morning they were talking about different messages that the Lord had laid upon their hearts, and so I got on there, and me and Grace were on our way in this morning, and so I got on there and I said, I just want y'all to know that I am preaching the greatest message I've ever written, and it's better than all of yours. I'm preaching on pride today. So, amen. So, they got it. They laughed. I was glad they laughed. After I sent it, I thought, boy, I hope they get that. All right, so it was a joke, and they got it, so that was good. All right. James chapter number 4 and in verse number 6 says this, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." I want to share a message that's on my heart this morning that we need. I want to preach on pride this morning. Pride is the only sin that I can think of that many times the guilty can be involved in and not even be aware that they're guilty of it. Pride is when we think of pride, many times we think of a haughty spirit, someone with their nose in the air, and there's probably a few of us in this auditorium that would say, well, yeah, that's me, I'm prideful. Not many of us, I think, would do that, but every church, including our church, has a pride problem. Pride is an issue everywhere. The lost today, if they leave lost, not knowing they're going to heaven, it will be because of pride. The saved that do not grow in the Lord is because of pride. The servants of God who are busy today that will not receive a prize for it from the Lord is because of pride. The believer that sits in the pew week after week and wondering what's wrong with everybody else and nothing's ever wrong with them is because of pride. Pride is a serious issue. So I'm not prideful. That's the first red flag that you're prideful. Pride is an issue in every one of our lives. I don't care who you are. We battle pride. Pride was that first sin that caused Lucifer to rise up in rebellion against God. Pride is the reason that Eve decided to take that fruit. The things of the world are wrapped up in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The reason we sin any time as believers is because of pride. Because we think we know more than God, or we deserve to participate in this sin. Pride is a serious issue, and I hope that I'm very sober today about the message. Turn over, look at a few verses with me, and we'll try to kind of go backwards and look at these in an order. But look at Proverbs chapter 29, just to get an idea of what the Bible says about pride. And Proverbs chapter number 29, and in verse number 23. Again, look at these few verses, then we're going to have a word of prayer. But in Proverbs chapter 29, and in verse number 23. Proverbs 29, verse number 23. And these all be about pride, just to again, get our mind and heart thinking on what pride is. In Proverbs 29, verse 23, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." A man's pride shall bring him low. Turn back a few pages, Proverbs 16, 18. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 18. Pride 16:18, you probably already thought of this verse when I mentioned the title. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse number 3. Proverbs 14 and in verse number 3. Says, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." Proverbs 13 and in verse number 10, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom." That is a powerful verse to me. That's a verse that I have to say to myself all the time. When there's contention, when there's arguing, when there's fighting, there's pride. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs 11 and in verse number 2. Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then cometh what? Shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs chapter number 8 and in verse number 13. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now we're going to describe evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate, God says. Turn back a few more pages to Psalm chapter number 10. Psalm and in verse number 10. Psalm 10 and in verse number 4. Psalm 10:4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Pride makes us push God aside. Pride brings shame. Pride brings low. Pride brings destruction. Pride and a haughty spirit brings a fall. God hates pride. Pride shows on your countenance. Pride is wicked. Yet, we all have an issue with pride. Pride keeps people from calling out upon the Savior. Pride keeps people from bowing the knee at an altar. Pride infects our eyesight, causing us to view ourselves in a non-reality, thinking we don't have issues. We all have a pride problem. I don't care who you are, we battle it. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us today. Father, Lord, I do want to come to you humbly today. Lord, I thank you for our church. I thank you, Lord, for our doctrine. To the best of my knowledge, it is pure. I thank you, Lord, for the preaching and holiness here at church. To the best of my knowledge, we preach what the Word of God says. I thank you, Lord, for our music today. It lifted your Son up, and I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, for the special that was sung. Brother Chad wanted no glory, he just wanted to praise you. I thank you for his heart. I thank you for a choir, Lord, that desires to honor you and sings out for your glory. Father, I thank you for our musicians that seek no honor. They just want to serve you. I thank you for our Sunday school teachers and our junior church workers that have taught and are teaching. Lord, that you want a desire to serve you. And Lord, I thank you. We're just very blessed at our church. But may we never become prideful in any of these things. May you guard us against pride in our personal lives. Teach us some things about this wicked sin of pride today, please. I yield myself to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Most of you have heard probably of the old-time preacher Jonathan Edwards. He preached the message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Pretty popular message. He also wrote a booklet one time called Undetected Pride. I got into that book a little bit on studying this sermon and I came across it. And he gave 7 things. This is not the message, but I did want to share them because I thought they were so interesting. Written all those years ago. But he wrote down in this booklet, Undetected Pride, 7 symptoms that there's a pride problem. And I'm not going to preach on these, but I do want to give them real quick. Number one, and I'd encourage you to write these down because this is something to do some inventory with every once in a while. Jonathan Edwards, 7 symptoms of undetected pride. Number one, he wrote this, fault finding. Fault finding. He said that those who have a pride issue will never see in themselves any issues, but they're very quick to see the faults of other people. Very rarely will see the faults within themselves, but very quickly see the faults of other people. Number two, he said a harsh spirit. A harsh spirit. Person with a pride problem will speak of others with contempt, irritation, frustration, my words now as everyone else kind of gets on their nerves. That no one's quite as good as they are, and they have it all figured out. And when they speak of others, they're always criticizing or always looking and talking about them in a lesser light. Fault finding, a harsh spirit, and then number three, he wrote down the word, a superficiality. A superficiality. They're more concerned with others' perceptions about them than they are with their own heart. They're more concerned with what other people will say about them or think about them, and it affects everything that they do. Because everything they do seems to be forced to make others look at them in a way they want them to look at them. They become proud of their holiness or proud of their lack of holiness. A superficiality. The fourth symptom he wrote is this, defensiveness. Defensiveness. Instead of, and he, these are his words, and I liked them, so I just wrote them down. Instead of finding a hiding place in Christ from the attacks of Satan and others, they need to constantly challenge, rebuke, and prove themselves. A defensiveness. He would go on to write this statement, and I liked it too. He said, quote, "The humble Christian, when the world is more against him, the more silent he will be, except in the prayer closet." I'm going to say that again because I liked it. The humble Christian, the more the world is against him, the more silent he will be, except in the prayer closet. When there's pride, there's always a desire to defend themselves because they never want in any way to be criticized or someone to think they were in error. Can I tell you something? We all make mistakes. His fifth thing that he wrote is this, a presumption before God. A presumption before God. In the heart of the prideful, he writes that there will be little reverence and little rejoicing in the Lord God. And when things don't go well, they will quickly point the finger to blame God. Or they feel like they have to beg God or belittle God. Number six, the sixth symptom that he wrote is this, a desperation, this is hundreds of years ago, it's kind of interesting, a desperation for attention. The proud are hungry for attention and respect. These are Jonathan Edwards' words. You can look at it if you want to look up the book. But they will change the way they walk and change the way they dress and change the way they speak. Living a fantasy world to want and in a desire to be adored. They will do things to draw attention to themselves. They will change the way they act, walk, dress, etc., just so people look at them. Pride. Amen. Yeah. Everything we do and say and the way we walk and the way we dress should point to Him. Yeah. A desperation of attention. And number seven, a neglecting of others. They would always prefer to serve themselves than other people. They will honor only those, these are his words, they will honor only those that they choose to honor. He writes, the prideful Christian has no need for fellowship. Will ignore authority and refuse the weak. Those just grabbed me this week when I came across this pamphlet. And I read that and had to search my heart, and I hope that you'll do the same thing. And probably, if we're honest, we have some pride issues in our church. James chapter 4 and verse number 6, where we started today, you know, turn there, you probably know it. He giveth more grace. But God does what to the proud? Resisteth the proud. I want you to stop and think about that statement. What is the royal invitation in the Word of God? Come. Right? I mean, from Genesis there, all the way to the book of Revelation. Come. That is the heart of God. Amen? Come. Come unto me. All ye are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. God wants us to come to Him. That statement in James is a powerful statement when compared to the Scriptures. That God resisteth the proud. In 1 Peter chapter number 5, and in verse number 5, let me read this verse to you. You can turn there if you like. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse number 5 says the same thing. Peter says it. So now James says it. Now Peter says it. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Peter says, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I have said, and I thought about that this week, God resisteth the proud. That is a statement in the Word of God. Yes. To the God who says, whosoever will may come. Come unto me, all ye. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Yet the Scripture says, God resisteth the proud. Pride, someone said, is the most secret of all sins. God resisteth the proud. So I put a lot of thought into that this week. All week I've been contemplating this thought. How does God resist the proud? Resist means to push back. I mean, I don't take lightly what I'm preaching because that is a powerful thing to think about. The God who says come, the God who says come, He resisteth the proud. And I ask God this week, God, help me with this. I want to understand this. I wrote down these three things. Number one, you can tell it's not a normal Travis Burke sermon. There's nothing alliterated. Nothing like that. It's just what me and God have been talking about this week. Number one, how does God resist the proud? Well, number one, you cannot have salvation with pride. You can't have salvation with pride. Salvation is by grace through faith. It is all what Christ has done. It is His blood. There's power in the blood, as we sang. Amen? It is through that and that alone where we find salvation. The prideful take offense at this. The prideful want to do something to get their salvation. All the way back in Genesis, it was pride that caused Cain to say, that can't be it. It was pride that made Cain say, it just can't be, you know, and that faith and what the blood that will be shed. I want to bring something myself. Every false salvation taught there, every other gospel that's preached is a result of pride. Because we don't want to submit to what God has said. We want to have a part in our own salvation, our own self-righteousness, our own desire to maybe pat ourselves on the back. Whatever it comes, that is where every perversion of the gospel has come. And there will be no flesh that will boast in God's presence. You hear me on that? No flesh will ever boast in God's presence. And when we try to come to God and say, all right, I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to get my salvation. I'm going to be a good person, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to go this way. I'm going to, you know, accomplish this or give this or live a certain way. I will make sure I get to heaven. It is not the works we do. We must come to God because the preaching of the gospel takes humility. The gospel is offensive. It's offensive. Because it has to start with this fact. You're a sinner. And me having to humbly accept that fact, I am a sinner. We've had, you know, adult kids ministries for many years, still do, but not as much, but did junior church for many years, and people will come forward, you know, a little child, and they'd say, you know, why'd you come? I want to get saved. Amen. And the first question I always ask, are you a sinner? And there are times that kids look at me and say, no. I'm glad they're honest. And I'll try to show them what sin is in the Bible. And I will not take any further step until that person understands that I'm a sinner. Because what are you getting saved from if you're not a sinner? Salvation is very offensive to the prideful because we have to admit I'm wrong. Don't we all hate that? We all hate saying we're wrong. I mean, it's just built inside of us. Because we're all prideful creatures. We hate to admit that we're wrong, and we push back on that because we don't want people to think bad of us. We don't want to think bad of ourselves, and we always push back on this. If we're going to get saved, we have to understand I am a sinner. And I, here's the other prideful part that stands in our way. I cannot get to heaven on my own. I don't care who the most spiritual person that walks upon the face of this earth is. I don't care who the best acting, most godly acting person is. It is not by works of righteousness that we go to heaven. It's according to His mercy He saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. You see, so many in this world push back on that and say, well, you know, you go start knocking on doors. And do you know you're going to heaven? Oh, yes, I was baptized when I was this age. And they hold their salvation on something they did. Or they'll say to you, I think I'm going to heaven. I'm trying to be the best person I can. I'm sure not as bad as them down the street, right? And we point our fingers at other people and comparing ourselves. Listen, when we get to heaven, none of us will, there'll be zero pride in heaven. When we get to heaven, there'll be one song that we will sing all together, hallelujah, to the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. We are going to heaven all because of what Jesus has done. The prideful says, but I want to do something. There's nothing you can do to get your way to heaven. There is none righteous, no, not one. If you're saved today, it's because you humbly say, God, I'm a sinner. And I can't do it. But I believe Jesus died for me. Your salvation today is not based upon you, but based upon Him. It's all Him. Pride will keep people from being saved. Pride will keep people from coming to know the Lord. I wrote down number two. Number one, you can't have salvation with pride. Number two, you can't have maturity with pride. You can't have maturity with pride. God resists the proud. Does God want you to grow? Yes. Does God want you to grow in the things of God? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow. I could go through so many different scriptures, right? Where God wants us to grow and God wants us to mature in the things of God. He wants that in our lives. He wants us to get in this book. He wants us to be spiritually maturing. And everybody look at me. None of us have made it yet. No one in this auditorium has reached spiritual maturity. We're all growing. It's what we've called progressive sanctification, or whatever you want to call it, but we're all growing in the Lord. The only day that we'll ever be able to say, I have spiritually arrived, as when we see Him face to face. Until then, we're all growing. But the prideful, which is, he isn't the young Christian. Because the young Christian has just humbly come before the Lord and says, I need this. I can't do it. It's not the young Christian. This is the hard part, right, church? It's those who've sat in church for a long time that we begin to think. And we quit growing. I've coached basketball many years. And there's been one or two that's been in our teams that'll say, let me help you. I got it. And they're pretty good. But they never were able to take it to another level because they knew they were pretty good. When other players on the team said, hey, let's do it. No, no, no. Give me it. Hey, let's work. You could probably raise your free throw percentage 10% if you had... I've been shooting all my life. Some of you are bosses. And you've had employees that you said, you know, we could do a lot better if you do it this way. I know what I'm doing. I've been here 10 years. I've been here 15 years. Pride keeps us from growing in the things of God. Pride keeps us from maturing. You pretty close. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians 3, in verse number 1, Paul says this, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For as there is among you envy and strife and divisions. Now let me ask, stop here. We've already read it today. What causes envying, strifes, and divisions? Pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Why could Paul not teach them to more things where they could grow and mature? Because they were so busy with their strifes and divisions and envyings, or in other words, they were so full of themselves, they quit growing.
Yes.
Any message that was ever preached, they already had it. Anything that was ever maybe contrary to their life, I'm good. Any challenge ever from the Word of God, I don't need that. Anytime there's ever preaching on something, their mind is thinking about everybody who needed this message, except themselves. Pride has us sitting in our seats thinking, yes, get them, preacher. They are so immature. No, you are. It's showing in your life and the fact that you don't have a need for fellowship. You don't reach out to people. People have to come to you. They're going to shake my hand. I'm going to do things in my life and I'm going to change the way I live so that people say, whoa. I'm going to walk a certain way. I have no need. I look at me. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And if anyone has the audacity to challenge you in your spiritual life, you're offended. Pride. Pride. You say, but I am more spiritually mature than them. You might be. But you haven't arrived. It is pride that keeps us from maturing in the things of God. It is pride that keeps us... It's pride... I hope this isn't the case with anybody. I'm just trying to preach the Word of God. But if you're mad at me from this message, you're prideful. I just shared what the Bible says. It's something inside of you saying, hey! It's pride. I've been there. I've grown up in church. There's been some sermons that I said, I that guy has no idea. I'm good. I'm not like other people. And God has had to humble me. And God may need to humble you this morning. We need to be growing in the things of God. So I've reached a level I'm pretty happy with. If you're not growing, you're dying. I'm not a really good grower of... plants and vegetables. Although I'm better than my wife. You give her something, it's dead in a week, man. But I've noticed just a little principle in life. When those plants, whatever they are, quit growing, they begin to die and shrivel up. Before long, they're laying on the ground. No life. If you're not growing as a Christian, you're starting to get frustrated as a Christian. If you're not growing as a Christian, you're not being fed. If you're not growing as a Christian, people are getting on your nerves. If you're not growing as a Christian, you never have a testimony.
Yes.
Pride. You can't have salvation with pride. You can't have maturity with pride. And then I wrote down this third thing. You cannot... How does God resist the proud? You cannot have the blessings and the promises of God with pride. See, what do you mean, the blessings and the promises of God? Well, back where we started in James chapter 4, read this real quick. Back where we started in James chapter 4, verse number 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Next verse. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Yes, he will.
Amen?
Yes.
God has promised us victory over the devil. God has promised us victory over temptations. We're going to be starting an addictions program. God has promised us victory over every sin and every addiction.
Yes.
Amen. God has promised us victory, and there's no temptation that He does not make a way of escape.
Right.
You are more than conquerors.
Yes.
To Him that loved us. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us.
Yeah,
isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Are those things truth?
Yes.
Amen. Does God design for every one of His children to live a victorious Christian life?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I mean, y'all sing out, I'm on the winning side. Amen.
Yes.
So, well, I'm not winning. Pride. I'm not getting victory over pride. Because when we submit ourselves, therefore, to God, y'all, James 4:7. When we submit ourselves, therefore, to God, that's when the devil flees.
Yes, praise
God. Amen.
Yes.
That's when we can get victory.
Yes.
That's when we can stand up and sing, I'm on the winning side. Praise God.
Yes.
You say, well, I don't feel that way. Because you haven't submitted yourselves, therefore, to God.
Right.
And the only thing that'll keep you from submitting yourselves, therefore, to God is... Right? I can handle this. I can beat this. No, I can't.
That's right.
So I can overcome it. I can self-discipline myself. Maybe for a while, but no. I've had a lot of people say these things to me, be it whatever it is, and no one ever gets victory. Until they say, God, I'll do whatever you say.
Yes.
With that heart, all of a sudden, with that heart, you begin to see victory.
Yes.
Whatever you say, God. I don't care what people around me think. Whatever you say, God. I don't care what ropes and what I have to hoops I have to jump through. Whatever you say.
Yes.
When we submit, it's humility. It's humility. I try to be the right kind of dad, the right kind of husband. But there's been more than once that I've had to look into the eyes of my wife and my children and say, I was wrong.
That's right.
I was wrong. I didn't want to do it. I did not want to say those words. And the devil whispering in your ear, well, now your kids will never trust you. Well, now your wife, she'll never forgive you. You've thought those things too. But I never got the promises and the blessings of God in my family's life when I made mistakes until I said, I'm sorry. And I'll do whatever it takes. Some are struggling with victory because of pride. I said the blessings and the promises of God. The next verse says this, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Isn't that wonderful? There is a promise from God's Word. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise from God's Word.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Just like salvation is a promise from God's Word. Amen? Amen. Y'all with me? Those are promises. Amen. Yet there are some Christians who say, I don't feel the presence of God in my life. That's because you're being resisted. Because you haven't submitted yourself, therefore, to God. If you will draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you.
Yes, He will.
But the problem is, we don't want to draw nigh to Him. And so if we, in our pride, says, basically, like the, you know, member in whatever church that says, like, I made a silly illustration a minute ago, I'm not getting around shaking people's hand. They can come to me, right? I don't need to move. They do, right? But some people have that attitude towards God. Why aren't you blessing me? Why am I not enjoying your presence? Why am I not, you know, I hear testimonies of people say, how God is, why do I not feel all that? Pride. Because it's been a long time since you got down on your knees with a Bible and said, God, I need you. I desire your presence in my life. And spend the time drawing nigh to God. If you'll do that, my friend, He will draw nigh to you. See, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, if you're saved, it's because there's a pride issue. Because God promised and God will never go back on His promises. There's only one thing that will bring a resistance towards that. Pride. We don't enjoy the blessings and the promises of God when it comes to our victory, when it comes to the, you know, the presence of God and all these. I could talk about answered prayer. Or some that hasn't had, they couldn't testify of God answering a prayer in a long time. I'm going to tell you the reason. Pride. Because the Lord said, ye ask and receive not, that you may consume it upon your own lust. What's hindering that prayer? Ourselves. We're so focused upon ourselves and our own pride. I could talk about the rewards in heaven. I'm pretty close to this. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 6. 1 Peter 5, 6. Is there going to be the judgment seat of Christ and crowns passed out one day? Amen. Now we can discuss what those crowns are, but is God going to recognize those who faithfully serve? You know He is. All strive for masteries, but some will not receive them because they do not strive lawfully, Timothy says. Some things we burn away like wood, hay, and stubble, but there are some things that were invested in eternity that will be forever. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 6 says, what's the first word?
Amen.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. It will be worth it all when we see the Lord.
Yes.
There's only one thing that will keep us from these rewards. Right? We won't humble ourselves. We could talk about the leadership of God in our life, the presence of God in our life. We could talk about giving and trusting God with our giving. But you get, the Holy Spirit says, we get it. Pride must die in you, or nothing in heaven can live in you. Pride must die in you, or nothing in heaven can live in you.
That's
We need to remove the pride. I read this quote and I end with this quote. Making mistakes is better than faking perfection. Making mistakes is better than faking perfection. God says, I abhor pride. God help us.